Today on Blue 58, now that the 2024 draft is over and done, let's hop in our time machine and go back to 2021. What, if anything, could the Packers have done differently?
Blue 58!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue 58, the one and only podcast of thepowersweep.com. I am your host, John Meerdink, and I am happy to be with you here for another episode. We're going to do that thought experiment here in a little bit, talking about the 2021 draft and maybe some things the Packers might have done a little bit differently if they had to do it over again. But first, a couple things I want to touch on. First, some roster moves after the Packers' rookie minicamp. The Packers have signed three players, wide receiver Julian Hicks, offensive lineman Lasitas Smith, and wide receiver Dimitri Stanley. Hicks is 6'2", 201 pounds. He was initially reported as an undrafted free agent signing. We talked about him in our undrafted free agent roundup episode. Evidently, he was just a rookie minicamp tryout guy. Yeah, the tryout was successful. After a fairly productive college career at Albany, did some hopping around prior to that. He ends up in Green Bay. He was wide receiver number 107 in the Beast this year from Dane Brugler. Lasitas Smith was a 2022 sixth-round pick for the Arizona Cardinals, played in 10 games for the Cardinals in 22, starting two of those at guard. Had some more practice squad time with the Texans and Eagles last season. Another interior depth signing for the Packers. I like his size at 6'3", 314 pounds. Pretty good get, it seems like, for, I don't know, what is this, the fourth wave of free agency? After the draft, after undrafted free agency goes by, the Packers adding a guy with some starting experience to their interior offensive line group. You could do worse than that, I think, at this point in the offseason. Then Stanley, 6 feet tall, 200 pounds, played his college football at Colorado and Iowa State. His dad went to Colorado, as a matter of fact, and actually played for the Packers for a little bit in the 1980s. Look up Walter Stanley punt return on YouTube and have a little bit of fun with him basically juking out the entire Detroit Lions team in a Thanksgiving Day romp in 1986. Very high-scoring game, very, very entertaining, and he had a very nice punt return in that game for a score. Stanley, the younger, I guess, was more productive with Colorado than with Iowa State. Bill Huber did a nice piece on Packers Central about the younger Stanley and his career, talked with the older Stanley about how that played out. There's some interesting behind-the-scenes stuff, I think, going on at Iowa State that may have contributed to Dimitri Stanley's relative lack of productivity there, but seems like a pretty solid wide receiver prospect and a nice guy to be adding here at this point in the offseason. Before we talk about the redraft, I want to make mention of essentially our relaunched Patreon. It's been a long time since we've talked regularly about our Patreon, and that's something that I want to bring back to talking about regularly on Blue 58, because your support matters a lot to me and to this podcast. Financial support helps us make this show the best it can be. It helps get us access to a few different databases that we use to bring you the best stats and information that we can. Helps me do research on some things, gives us funds for, you know, hosting this podcast, the actual hosting cost of it, like on the hosting server that we use, to offset some costs for the website and things like that. Your support goes a long way toward making that happen, and we really couldn't do it the way that we do it without you. So we value that support a lot, and I want to make more of an effort to bring you some valuable rewards via Patreon. So we're doing a few things. First, going to start doing more regular content there. That's something that we kind of tailed off on a little bit after the season, but we want to bring back posts for that every Friday. So look forward to Patreon-specific content every Friday at patreon.com/thepowersweep and via Substack. More on that here in a second. Depending also on the tier that you support at, you will also have some merch options. So we've got different options for supporting. You can pay whatever you want, but if you support at the $3 a month tier, you'll get a sticker in the mail after supporting for a couple months. If you're at the $5 a month tier, you're going to get a PowerSweep coffee mug, and if you're at $10 a month or more, you're going to get a specific t-shirt that is only available to supporters of the PowerSweep via Patreon. Those are the lowest dollar amounts that I can give out those things through Patreon at. They actually, when I did the merchandising at those levels, they said, do you want to do this? You're actually going to lose a little bit of money on this in the short term. And I said, yes, because I want to make sure that we are rewarding people who support us. In fact, if I could have given stickers away at the $1 per month level, I would have, but that you are not allowed to do that just because of the costs involved on Patreon's merchandising end of things. So look forward to that sort of stuff on Patreon. If you're already a supporter there, that's great. If you're not, consider it. You'll get access to that specific merch. You get to join our Discord server and talk about Packers stuff and whatever's on your mind with fans from all over the world. And you get to support the Power Sweep and Blue 58 and help us continue to do the work that we're doing through all of this. And it just makes me feel pretty good, too. So I would appreciate it if you were able to do that. If you are a Substack supporter, get in touch with me. We'll make something work out for you because we can't do the automatic merch fulfillment through Substack quite the same way. But if you're willing to support us there as well, thepowersweep.substack.com, paid subscriptions there get you the same content and same Discord access that you would get through Patreon. It goes on a yearly basis automatically. If that's how you want to do it because you don't like Patreon or vice versa, just get in touch with me. We'll make something work for you merchandise-wise. I want to make sure that we are supporting the people who are supporting us via these things. And I'm just grateful for your support and for your consideration of that. So there's my spiel. It'll be shorter going forward. But thank you to those of you who support. And if you don't, that's fine. That's up to you. Just consider it. Okay. The 2021 NFL Draft. This is something that we like to do every year. Not the NFL Draft. The NFL does that regardless of our feelings about it every year. Redrafting a draft class every year is something that we like to do. We actually didn't do it after last year's NFL Draft for one very big reason. Jordan Love, as of this point last year, there really wasn't much we could say about him as far as his role in the Packers 2020 draft class. So it was a tough eval for that purpose. And there's some more stuff that I want to say about Jordan Love, either on the next podcast episode, perhaps next week, or on thepowersweep.com. I want to revisit that pick a little bit more too. But I figured instead of doing both 2020 and 2021, I would keep with the kind of three-year rolling redraft cycle that we've done in the past and talk about the 2021 draft class. So what would happen if we went back in time and redrafted the 2021 draft with the Packers sitting at the same picks they ended up picking at in 2021? I think it's a fun thing to think through. It's fun to take another look at the class and see what was available when the Packers were on the clock in 2021. I think it also gives you a good bit of insight into where a particular draft class is strong as much as where it's weak. It's easy to look back at a draft class and say, this guy didn't work out, this guy didn't work out, this guy didn't work out. It's a lot harder, but I think more rewarding to really sit down and say, all right, relative to who was more or less available when the Packers picked at the time, how did these guys actually turn out? And would you like to have them on the draft class again? And for a surprising number of picks in 2021, I think that is actually the takeaway. Though, by and large, these are the guys that I think the Packers should stick with, except maybe at the top of the draft class. Some rules for the redraft. We got to give ourselves a little bit of structure. You could always just sort by whatever, you know, grading mechanism you want to use. A Pro Football Reference has the really easy approximate value metric. You just sort by essentially best player in a draft class, and you could just fill out your 10 picks that way, assuming that they would have been on the board when you picked. That would be the easy way to do it. I think the way to do it is like this. The rule that we've always done is you can either pick somebody, you can stay with the guy the Packers picked at the draft pick that they were at, or you can take someone that went in the next 10 picks, or if there's no one from that same position that went within those next same picks, you can just take the next guy at the same position. So say you drafted, well, just let's use Amari Rodgers for an example. Amari Rodgers goes near the end of the third round, 85th overall. Say you don't like the Rodgers pick, and you don't like any of the other guys that you wanted to take instead. If you wanted to, you could pick the next wide receiver off the board and ignoring a couple names, say it's Amon-Ra St. Brown. There are a couple wide receivers that go within the next 10 picks after him, but just as a hypothetical here, that's how that would work out. So I'm also sticking with trade-ups and trade-down moves. I don't want to try to reinvent the wheel or reverse things too much for what the Packers had available to them in 2021. If the Packers traded up to a specific slot, we'll honor that and just go with what they had there. We're not going to try to get draft picks back or things like that, because you could unravel things basically as long as you want and really make things complicated. So we're not going to try to reinvent the wheel again. Just we're going to go with the draft slots where the Packers ended up. So the first pick out of the gate is 29th overall, Eric Stokes, the cornerback out of Georgia. looking back to 2021, you can see some of the case for picking him pretty easily. He's a big, long corner, though not overly tall, very athletic, though lacking some agility stuff that I think we even noted at the time. He struggled a little bit in some of the agility drills, but terrific long speed, pretty decent ball skills, though not necessarily great at Georgia. But again, a very good athlete. At the time, Kevin King was back with the Packers, but still a little bit dinged up and was not expected to be a huge part of the Packers' plans. And you can always use more corners, so Eric Stokes comes to Green Bay. Since then, Stokes went through a fairly promising rookie season, played a big role on the Packers' defense after Jair Alexander went down, and also Kevin King for that matter. And then things have kind of unraveled since then. 2022 got off to a really, really rough start. And then Eric Stokes got hurt, real bad injury. And on his way back from the injury in 2023, he got hurt again and then hurt again. And it was really just one game of defensive snaps for him. And that game did not go well at all in 2023. In a vacuum, if you're just looking back to 2021, I think there is a lot to like about Stokes. Some of the metrics you read and some of the data that we've looked at over the past couple weeks, you know, around the 2023 NFL draft or 2024 NFL draft, suggests that he may have been a slight to moderate reach, but there was a lot to like about him at the time. The bad news is that what was really likable about him appears to be, if not gone entirely, diminished somewhat to the point that we're not sure what he is as a player right now. Because if the book on Eric Stokes was that he's this big athlete, what are you when that athleticism goes away? I don't know if we have a clear answer for that right now on what Stokes is post this series of injuries that he's had over the past couple of years. So what other options do the Packers have on the board? I lean pretty firmly on changing the pick here, but as is often the case, there's no slam dunk option. UCLA edge rusher Gregory Rousseau went next to the Buffalo Bills, 17 sacks over three seasons. It's pretty solid, though not spectacular. Offensive lineman Landon Dickerson went 37th. He's a two-time Pro Bowl offensive lineman on the interior offensive line for the Eagles. And then Alabama defensive lineman Christian Barmore went at 38, 6'5", 315 pounds, 12.5 sacks in three seasons. That would be a nice addition to the Packers' defensive line. Dickerson seems like the obvious choice, but I think Rousseau is the more Packers pick. If I'm Brian Gutekunst in 2021, even with Za'Darius Smith on the roster, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary around, I think that a guy like Rousseau has to be enticing given his size and athleticism. And the Packers don't really take interior offensive line guys in round one. We just saw that play out with Graham Barton, a more interior-focused offensive lineman than I think Jordan Morgan was, though both of them projected as interior guys in the first round. We'll talk more about offensive linemen here in a second. So I think the long athletic edge with good overall size and good college productivity is the pick here. I think the Packers, in hindsight, would pick Gregory Rousseau. In round two, we do get to talk offensive line, because with the 62nd pick, the Packers pick Josh Myers, the center out of Ohio State. A good case for picking him at the time, in a vacuum. Always good to add more offensive line depth. The Packers needed a center at the time. A big long-term starter at Ohio State. In fact, bigger than most of the Packers centers in recent history. Considerably bigger, as a matter of fact. But since the Packers picked him, it's been up and down with a fair amount of down. He's a reliable player for what he is. He's a good communicator, well thought of on the coaching staff, has generally stayed healthy outside of the issues of his rookie season. He did miss a lot of time as a rookie, but was off to a good start that season before things started to add up for him in a number of areas. But the problem with Myers is not so much with Myers, though there are problems, I think, to his game, whether or not you believe the Packers when they say that he's been playing his best football of his career. The problem is the guy that went one pick after him. Creed Humphrey has been one of the best centers in the league. Nobody's perfect, and Humphrey has had his issues at times, but he's played much better than Myers. So I think we change the pick. We take Creed Humphrey, the center out of Oklahoma. So we've got an edge rusher. We've got an interior offensive lineman. Next up, the Packers traded up to 85 to get Amari Rodgers, the wide receiver out of Clemson. In retrospect, there is a pretty easy case to be made for him. He was smaller than the Packers' normal archetypes at wide receiver. He's less athletic than what they typically look for. But he did a lot of good things at Clemson. True slot player, very good punt returner, good enough athlete, though not great, and you like his size, pretty beefy slot receiver, seemed like a successor to Randall Cobb. But we all know how his career played out. 2021, 2022, not even the entire season, was not great with the Packers. Was not a reliable punt returner when he could hang on to the ball and couldn't get on the field on offense. Spent a little bit of time in 2022 with the Texans and then a little bit more time with the Colts in 2023. Now a member of the Birmingham Stallions. Just for a comparison of how Rodgers' career played out in the NFL, his career stats to date, 20 catches, 249 yards, and one touchdown with three NFL teams. In his first seven games of last season, Jaden Reed posted 20 catches for 314 yards and three touchdowns. That's the sort of productivity the Packers thought they were getting with Rodgers, and they just never got it. The pick, even if you could make a case for it, was a head-scratcher at the time, but the trade-up makes it even worse, and who is on the board at the time makes that even worse and worse. Nico Collins, for instance, was a great height-weight-speed prospect at the time, was good for the Texans, has been good for the Texans. He went 89th overall. Quinn Meinertz has been a solid interior offensive line with for the Broncos, went 98th. Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the best slot receivers in the NFL, went 112th. So absolutely you're changing the picks. By the rules, we can't take St. Brown or Meinertz, but Collins is plenty good, so we take Nico Collins, the wide receiver, to fill out the Packers' wide receiver room in the 2021 NFL Draft. The Packers' next pick is Royce Newman. He went 142 overall out of Mississippi, and this is where things start to change a little bit. So we've changed the first three picks in this draft class, but I think this is a bit of a tipping point as the Packers head into day three here. The Packers, I think it's easy to see where the Packers liked Newman at the time, and even since then, it's easy to see what the Newman case has been. He's a versatile offensive lineman, checked all the boxes coming out, could play guard, could play tackle, even did a little bit of center stuff at the Senior Bowl, and we know how much the Packers like the Senior Bowl. And he did end up playing a lot in 2021. It wasn't great, but improved. Some of his better games that season were down the stretch, and then the Packers did a bunch of reshuffling on their offensive line when Josh Myers was getting healthy down the stretch, and boy, here's a shot back in the time machine. David Bakhtiari getting healthy down the stretch in 2021. We know how that story played out. But Newman has been a spot starter and a relief guy since then. I don't have a lot of complaints about Newman that are specific to Newman as a player. It's more been a use thing. They put him ahead of Zach Tom in some situations where I didn't think that was necessarily justified in 2022. We had the whole Jake Hansen situation too there as well that kind of played into it. But the problems have not been so much with Newman as with how the Packers have used him relative to other linemen on the field. I think this was an okay pick. I think the Packers have gotten almost everything you could possibly get out of Royce Newman, because you got to have depth on the offensive line. He gave them that, and I think when he's been appropriately used, he hasn't necessarily been terrible. And I think the appropriate use stuff is really the issue with Newman. He shouldn't be a 16-game starter or 15-game starter, whatever it was in 2021. He should be more of a spot player, relief guy, depth guy who starts one or two games, maybe three or four games a year if you need him, and then does whatever you need from him on special teams on the offensive line. You know, field goal protection, whatever else, whatever other areas you can fit him in. But they just, early on, they couldn't find a way to use him appropriately because you needed to use him more extensively than I think he was ready for or capable of doing. That's not a Newman problem. It ends up being kind of a backdoor Newman problem just because, well, you're the guy out there and you need to perform, but that you ended up in that situation is not your fault. Do you change the pick, though? Within the next 10 picks, there's really only one possibility. I think it's Evan McPherson, the kicker out of Florida, who went 149 to Cincinnati, which doesn't seem super likely since Mason Crosby was still around and kicking. Pun very much intended there. So I think we stick with Royce Newman and add a little bit of depth to the offensive line, having already added one interior lineman already. Thematically, staying fairly similar here. The Packers' next pick was T.J. Slaton, the big defensive lineman out of Florida, pick number 173. case is obvious here. Big body, pretty good athlete. You need a run-plugging defensive lineman in your 3-4 scheme. And Slayton has basically been that since the Packers drafted him. 2023, easily his best season so far. Led the team in run stops, big and strong. What else do you really want? So this seems like a pretty easy one. You don't change the pick. There really aren't any other options, so we're going to pick him again anyway. We take TJ Slayton and add him to our hypothetical 2021 draft class reconstruction. The next one, I think, is the biggest head-scratcher in the class, though. I know it's day three, but this one didn't make sense even at the time. Pick number 178, Shamar John Charles, the cornerback out of Appalachian State. Small guy, slot guy, not an elite athlete. He did make a lot of plays on the ball in college. That was something that came up in our pre-draft process stuff that year. He was a ball-hawking player at Appalachian State. But he's gone now. He disappeared, barely made it out of a season and a half with the Packers. He appeared in 8 games for the Saints and 49ers last year, but it just was not a fit from the start. The Packers really seemed to be banking on a projection that didn't seem likely. Guys don't get bigger, and he was a small slot to begin with, was a liability in the run game from the second he stepped on the field, and that didn't ever change. And I don't know why you would think that would change, given what you know about how players develop. So we're going to do a little bit of historical editing here. I think he would have been a fit for the Packers, given what they ended up doing on special teams and stuff like that. But I'm going to take Talanoa Hufanga out of USC for one very specific reason. Yes, he's been a good special teams player for the 49ers, an all-pro, in fact. But I'm going to take him in this hypothetical redraft just so he can't be on the field to pick up a blocked punt in the playoffs in 2021 and return it for a touchdown. Look at all the problems we're solving through this thought exercise. Just one thing after another. This is worth it alone. We're going to exercise that historical demon. 214, Cole Van Lannen is the Packers' next pick, the offensive lineman out of Wisconsin. Another versatile offensive lineman, fits with what the Packers historically want to do on the offensive line, yada, yada, yada. He got cut at the end of training camp in 2021, ended up on the practice squad, elevated for one game, then signed a futures deal in 2022, was ultimately traded for a 7th-round pick at the end of training camp in 2022, and that pick became Anthony Johnson Jr., the safety. The trade was actually with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Van Lannen has played quite a bit with them since then. Take that however you want then. Want it. The Packers tried something. They ended up getting a pick out of it. No real complaints here. I lean toward not changing this pick, just given what the Packers got out of it down the road. But Khalil Herbert is there a few picks later. I've liked him in Chicago. The Packers ended up going with a running back later in this draft. What if we could add a little bit of chaos to our historical reconstruction and add Herbert here? Add him to the backfield. He's helpful behind to Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. I think we do it. We do miss out on Van Lannen and on Anthony Johnson, but maybe things go differently in the 2023 draft anyway, and you don't need Anthony Johnson, and maybe you don't end up signing A.J. Dillon for 2024 either, just because you have Herbert. Who knows? I like it for the chaos factor. Let's add him. The Packers' next pick was Isaiah McDuffie, their second-to-last pick in 2021 out of Boston College. Pick number 220, you take him that year to push and ultimately replace Ty Summers on special teams. And so far, McDuffie has done that and then some, pushed and then replaced Ty Summers, and then has been a non-negative player when he's been on the field on defense. Excellent return on investment, I think, so far for the Packers. His defensive contributions have been much more than anticipated, so I think you easily redraft Isaiah McDuffie. And then finally, 4 picks from the end of the 2021 NFL draft, the Packers take Kylan Hill, pick number 256, the running back out of Mississippi State, the very definition of a late round flyer. They took a shot on him despite a bit of an ignominious departure from Mississippi State. He was a good kick returner early in 2021, ends up tearing up his knee in the same game that Robert Tonyan tears up his knee. He comes back for 2022, and just as he's starting to get back onto the active roster after starting on the PUP list, gets released because he was a bit of a malcontent behind the scenes, apparently, though we've never really gotten a full explanation on what really went down there. But we don't have to. I think the story that has come out since then has told more than enough in that he's not gotten really any burn with any other NFL teams. So I think that tells you all you need to know. If he was enough of a troublemaker that nobody else picked him up, and nobody else thought enough of him as a player that they wanted to put up with whatever was going on behind the scenes. I mean, you be the judge there. There's really no winner or loser in this situation. He was the fourth to last pick in the draft. If you want to change the pick, you've got exactly three options. You've got running back Jamar Jefferson, you've got wide receiver Dax Milne, and you've got linebacker Grant Stewart. None of those really do anything for me. Dax Milne was somebody we mentioned in, I think, the pre-draft process that year. I think so. I didn't go back and confirm it, just because I just remember his name, I think, just popping out there. He might be the one you think about, but he doesn't really fit anything the Packers like to do from a wide receiver perspective. So I think you roll the dice again on Hill and see what happens. I know we've got Herbert in this very draft class, but we'll see what happens. And we'll see how it shakes out. So, edge rusher Greg Rousseau, center Creed Humphrey, wide receiver Nico Collins, Royce Newman, TJ Slayton, safety Talanoa Hufanga, running back Khalil Herbert, and linebacker Isaiah McDuffie, as well as running back Kylan Hill. There's our redrafted 2021 Green Bay Packers draft class. What do we learn? First big takeaway, the Packers really dumped their first three picks. They have not worked out. You can, if you want to say Eric Stokes is a wash just because of injury, that's fine. But Josh Myers relative to Creed Humphrey was a miss, and Amari Rodgers relative to all the other receivers that came after him was a miss too. But things improved for the Packers on day three of the draft. Royce Newman, I think, has been worth what the Packers spent on him. So has TJ Slayton pretty easily. And even Isaiah McDuffie really has gone a long way toward earning back the Packers' investment in him from the time. Yeah, you would like more out of a draft class than an okay lineman, okay depth lineman who's played more than he should, a pretty one-dimensional defensive lineman, and a number three linebacker, which is what Isaiah McDuffie is going to be, I think, at the very best this year. But it's not like the draft class was a total wash. And it shows you that even if there are some guys that you don't like in the draft class, like nobody's going to confuse me for the biggest Royce Newman fan, sometimes there just aren't many better options. And I think that's a good thing to keep in mind in the 2024 draft class when you look at guys that maybe are a little bit of a head-scratcher at the time. Maybe Tyron Hopper, yeah, he doesn't necessarily check every box for you, but maybe there's some things about him that don't make sense, or that makes sense if you dig a little bit deeper. Or sometimes the draft board just is what it is, and you take the best guy that you can on your board if you can't find a dance partner for a trade down or trade up or whatever, and you hope for the best from there. Sometimes you get a Royce Newman who will give you some useful playing time. Sometimes you get guys like Shamar John Charles, who, even if he was a head-scratcher at the time, you know, well, maybe if he does work out, you see why it's worth going outside your tendencies sometimes. Context is important, though, and looking at what the Packers had available is always a good thing to keep in mind. That's all I've got for you in this episode of Blue 58. I appreciate you tuning in. I'd appreciate it even more if you'd take a second and share this episode with someone you think would enjoy it. It's going to help more people find the show and get more people involved with this conversation you and I are having about the Green Bay Packers, which in turn is going to help all of us, me included, become smarter Packers fans. And as I always say, smarter Packers fans are better Packers fans, and better Packers fans are what we all want to be. I'm your host, John Meerdink. We'll see you next time on Blue 58.